reading from, if you'd like to open up and follow along with us, in the 21st chapter. And while you pray for us for a few minutes of time, but that God will just continue to speak. I believe he's already spoken to hearts, don't you? That he will just continue to speak to hearts. And that you would examine where you stand with God. And if you can't sing along with these songs, and maybe not the songs themselves and the lyrics, but especially the last one there, did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him? There's no one that is like God in our lives today. So Matthew, the 21st chapter, if you found it, go along with us, starting at verse 1 down through verse 10. It says, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come unto Bethage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king, that king cometh upon a meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And we'll stop reading there in that 10th verse. Taking from our text that question, who is this? Who is this man? They seen him come in Jerusalem, riding there on that colt that had never been ridden before. No man had ever sat upon it. And here he comes riding into the gates of Jerusalem. They took their coats and laid them on it for him to sit on. And many of them, when they saw him coming in the gates, there were people that had different explanations as to who this was. You'll find this story repeated in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of them gives a very descriptive story as to how people saw who it was that was coming in Jerusalem. This was not customary for anybody but warriors that had been out to battle, or someone of great significance, maybe a king, that would come into the city, and the city would stop what they were doing and celebrate the victories of the warriors, or to honor the king and the queen as they would ride into the city on their chariots, displaying all of their goods that they had. People did not ask, who is this? They knew who they were. But this man was different. He didn't come riding into Jerusalem in a chariot. He didn't come riding in an adorned with all kinds of people around him celebrating that he was the king. Because you see, how you see him determines how you worship him. People see him from different perspectives. Some would say that he was a malefactor, that he was a blasphemer. that he was not the Son of God. And here we are over 2,000 years later, and there are still some that are debating whether he was the Son of God or not. I believe that we have plenty of proof that he was the Son of God, because he's the only one that ever laid down his life and had the power to raise it back up. It wasn't the angels that raised him back up. He said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to raise it back up. He raised himself up because he was God in the flesh. But when we go back to when he come, Brother Ray, into Jerusalem, there were those that said, who is this? Who is this man? Have you ever had anybody to ask you, why do you love God so much? The reason why they ask those questions is because they don't know him like you know him today. They don't trust him like you trust him. They don't depend on him like you and I depend on the Lord today. There were those that said, who is this? Who is this? I believe we live in a world today that is still crying out, who is this? Even though he's proven time after time after time again that there is no other name under heaven given among men that has the power that the name of Jesus Christ has today. There were those in the book of Luke in the 19th chapter in the 39th verse that said, Master, rebuke them. In other words, stop them from honoring him as he's coming in the gates. But the answer came back to them, if we stop them, the rocks will cry out. Oh, hallelujah. If we stop the people from crying out, the rocks will cry out. Church, aren't you glad that God will make sure his son gets the praise one way or another? That there will be a few that will recognize him for who he is and for all that he's done. Here in the 15th chapter, or the 21st chapter, down and starting at the 14th verse, he says, when he came into the temple, that there was all kinds of lame and blind people that came there, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Not everybody's going to be happy that you've been healed. Not everybody's going to be happy that you got saved. But let me just preach this morning, whether anybody else is happy or not, I'm happy. Aren't you? If daddy don't go, I'm going on. If mama don't go, I'm going on. If children don't go, I'm going on. Because nothing can stop me because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied to our hearts and our soul. And he said unto them, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of the babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Amen. Some say, you're awful. You need to mature and grow up. I say, let me stay where I'm at, because I'm happy at serving God and praising him and lifting up his name. Yes, you can make it through this world without him, but you cannot make it through death without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, hell will be your eternal resting place. There were those in the book of John in the 12th chapter in the 19th verse that said, look, the world has gone after him. What they were saying, the Pharisees were saying, we better get this under control because the people are stopped coming to us and are starting to follow this man called Jesus. Brother Sterling Boland used to recite some words from a song that was sung years ago. I think it's time that the world and we let the world pass us by just give us Jesus and we ought to be happy today. He said, look, the world has gone crazy. I wish I was a little crazier for my Lord and Savior. I wish people would go back and remember all that God has done for them. Anything and everything you have today, it's because God has made it possible for you to have it. If we took away all the blessings that God has given to us, we would have nothing. But thank God I've got everything I need to make me happy on this journey. Because I've got Him, I've got His Word, I've got the church, and I've got a heaven that is waiting on me when I draw my last breath. Some of you, help me preach this morning. When I draw my last breath and I've sang my last song, I'll close my eyes and I'll exchange my cross for a crown. Here they cried out, Hosanna, which is save us or help us now. I don't know how many of them were crying out for a temporal help or salvation. Some of them wanted help or to be saved from personal situations they was in. You remember, even when he was crucified, the one thief said, if you be the Lord, save us and yourself from this awful situation. He wasn't really honoring Christ as God. He just wanted to save his own skin, so to speak. But the other one said unto him, you and I are getting what we deserve. Leave him alone. He has done nothing wrong. But he even went even further, Sister Sharon. Before he died, he looked at the Lord and said, Master, rememberest thou me when thou goest into thy kingdom? And Jesus had one of the best things I've ever heard said from another man. And he looked at him and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. If you ask him who he was, when he went to the cross, he said, he's just another a blasphemer and malefactor. But when he seen and heard the cries that Jesus did there on the cross, he said, oh no, I used to see him as one of us. But let me tell you something, world. He's not a fake. He's not a phony. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And he will save the whole world if they would just ask him to do so. There were those in the book of Mark in the 11th chapter, 9th verse, that went before, as he said here in Matthew, and some that followed after. Oh, I got to pause for a minute. See, the Bible speaks about the former and the latter rains. Did you know we're not the only ones that still call him Savior? There were some that went before us. Oh, let that sink in, church. There are some that went before us that plowed the ground that we walk in. Oh, this ought to make somebody want to shout on a Sunday morning. There were those that went before us and preached the gospel to a lost and dying world. You and I are not saved by just a chance or by accident. We are saved because somebody loved us enough to preach us the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell us who he really is, and to tell us that we need to be saved by God's amazing grace before we leave this world. Those that went before us said, Hosanna. Can you hear some of your forefathers praying? You say, they didn't say Hosanna. Maybe Brother Jack, what they said is, Lord, would you save my children? Lord, would you save my grandchildren? What they're saying is, Lord, save now. Save them. And some of you say, well, none of my family ever went to church. Well, you're in a family today that is crying out, Lord, save now. help them. And you say, I don't know that I need any help. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you need help today. I can't give it to you. The deacons can't give it to you. The church can't give it to you. But there is one amongst us that can give you the help that you stand in need of. Who is this? What do you say about him? See, some people don't mind Sister Debbie to look from afar and say, he sure looks good. He looks like a prophet. He looks like someone that was martyred for a good cause. But let me tell you, come a little closer and you'll see the nail prints in his hands. You'll see the nail print in his feet. You'll see the side that was riven just for you and I. And you'll see he was more than a prophet. A prophet can only tell you about the Savior or the one that they represent. He was more than a prophet. John, the first chapter says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God. See, how you see him will determine how you treat him. He is not just some by name. He's not just some name to be used by the world. His name is the most glorious name that there is in heaven and earth. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Who do you say he is? I say today, he is more than just a Savior. How many of you today, is he your best friend? Oh. How many of us today, is he more than just a friend and a Savior? But he's the love of our life. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me enough to say, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he drank of that bitter cup and was crucified. You say he did it to save his own skin. No, he did it to save our souls from a devil's hell. Because the Bible teaches us he could have called more than 12 legions of angels to come and set him free. But if he had been set free, you and I would still be bound. You see, what do you say about him? Can you see how the crowd responded? Some of them said, this is our Savior coming in. Some of them said, this guy's a fake. He's phony. Some of them said, here is the king that is going to save us from the Roman tyranny that we are under. But Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world, that I would lay down my life, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, today if we took a census around our city or around the state or the country, we would get different people saying different things about who Jesus really is. But only the redeemed of God can stand up boldly and say, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I was not there, but I know because he spoke to my heart like no one has ever spoke to me. And Checky, he invited me to become part of his family. And the best thing that I ever did do was when I said yes to the invitation that God gave to me. How many of you remember that invitation? Oh, hallelujah. I got to find a closing place here. The world is still trying to figure out who he is. Instead of us just proclaiming that He is the Savior of the world. We still need help. How many of you need help this morning? How many of us today, we may not take off our garments or our outer coat or tunics and lay them upon a colt for him to ride on. We may not take them off and lay them down in the path for the animals and for his entourage to walk upon. We may not cut down leaves off of the palm trees and throw them into the path where they could walk on. You know why they did all that? To keep them from getting dirty. It was like rolling out the red carpet. Today, church, can I preach? We ought to roll out the red carpet to Jesus Christ. Not just on Sundays, but every day. Let the world see what a beautiful sight it is in knowing a risen Savior. But you see, even as they did all of that, there were some in the midst of that city that looked at it and said, look at this. Can I use today's saying? They would say, what a joke this is. Look at that man. He doesn't have a chariot. No. Look, he's riding on the lowest of the animals that the scripture might be fulfilled. But oh, if they would have saw who he really was. This was not just Mary and Joseph's son. This was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords riding in triumphantly to show the world that he is, was, and forever shall be the King of our hearts and our lives. Amen? You see, God doesn't expect us to put all that pageantry. You know what he asked? He asked when he passes by that we would just open up our hearts and allow him to come in. You see, people get excited about a lot of things. Yesterday, as I told you, we was at that birthday celebration and the kids were playing ball, and every time they'd hit the ball, I got more excited than they did because it's just the things grandpas do, right? But when I come into church on a Sunday morning and I can feel the presence of God, folks, don't try to hold me back because the King is in the place. And he deserves to be praised and worshiped. I get excited at the ball games, but I get more excited when I can feel the presence of God in my heart and my life. Because you see, ball games will be won and lost. But when I come to know Jesus Christ, I lost everything that was trying to take me to a devil's hell, and I won everything that's going to take me to heaven when this life shall come to an end. Who is this? You see, he didn't come. The Bible teaches us this, Brother Ray. He didn't come with pomp and circumstance. He came lowly. He came lowly into this world. Born in a manger, lived his life, no doubt. Just poor folks. Even though he owned it all, he had nothing. But you see, you say, why would anybody want to do that? Leave the glory of heaven and come to this earth to live like a pauper. Why would he want to do that? So you and I could be kings and princesses. Amen. And I sometimes I get this confused, so that we could be prince and princesses, right? And that we could be, you know, my father, he owns it all. I'm not talking about dad. I'm talking about my heavenly father. And everything I have need of, he is able to provide it. And let me close with this final thought. Some of you have been blessed to have everything you need because others recognize him as the King. Amen. Some of you today say, I've heard about him. Some of those on that day said, I've heard about him. And you know what? Even to confirm that he was who he said he was, while he was there, he went to the temple and he healed many. You know what they did, Brother Jim? I believe they ran out of the temple and said, oh, you ought to come see this man. He come in lowly, but he's healing people in that building. You ought to come and see him. They said he was king of the Jews. At first I had my doubts, but once I walked in there and I saw all the great things that was being taking place, the miracles that was being given. Folks, is there any doubt who Jesus is today? Who do you say he is? Robin, Sharon, get us a song of invitation. There's folks that need to make a decision today. There were some, no doubt, on that day that were skeptical about this man coming in. You know, in today's vernacular, he didn't pull up in a Mercedes or a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. He come in on a, I don't even know what's the lowest, how low can I go? What was that car? A Yugo. He came in on a Yugo. Yeah. He could have come in the finest of limousines, but he came in a little Yugo that was being pushed by the disciples. Fred Flintstone mobile. But when he left here, he left in power and glory. First chapter of the book of Acts, it says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus you see going away shall come in like manner. And when he comes the next time, folks, there'll be no time for you to cry, Hosanna. There'll be no time for you to say, Lord, save me. There'll be no time for you to find a place to pray. But today is the day of salvation. While God speaks to your heart, and while this church prays, and we all stand, this altar's here for a reason. It's here where people can come to find the help that they stand in need of. Would you follow your heart today while they sing for us? It's up to you. Will you receive him as king? Or will you be like one of the scoffers? Come home today. Come home. Get the help that you need. He's here with us today. Hosanna. God, help us. Help us, Lord. While they pause for a minute, I've said this many times over the years. And I don't say this to hurt anybody's feelings this morning. But I've got family and friends that need help. Some of them that we've known for a long, long time. Some that are so hooked on alcohol, they get to a place where they don't even know what they said or what they did. And Becky and I have talked about this. It's almost like their brains have become fried because of the alcohol. They need help. I've got family this morning that has got an addiction to drugs. It's got a hold of them. They need help. I've got some that are in financial disarray. They need help. And my heart goes out to all three of those groups of people. But the greatest need in my family today are those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They need to know Him more than anything else in this world. And I believe this with all of my heart. You get right with God, and God will take care of everything you need help with. How many of us has He pulled out of the hog pen and raised us up? How many of us has He taken away the desires of this world? You know, this world has nothing for me. I feel like Abraham sometimes, Brother Roscoe, or Roscoe. You know what I'm saying. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And some would look at us and you and say, looks like you got everything you need. Well, if you go back many years ago, you'll find out, Sister Vi, you can testify, we were poor, broke, destitute. But we got right with God. And ever since that day, can I brag on Him? Everything I've ever needed, He's made a way for us. I have a roof over my head. We have clothes on our back. We've got food on the table. And you say, that's because you work hard. No, that's because God has blessed. God has blessed. Because there's a lot of them that work hard that have a whole lot less. Amen? So I said all of that to ask for just one more verse of a song, because I believe it like this. Maybe you've already got everything. I said this many years ago in the message, and people's eyes got real big. I believe God blesses even sinners. People that are lost, God blesses you. But don't ever think it's all because of you. It's all because of Him and His love towards you and I today. One verse. You follow your heart today. When Jesus is calling, while the church is praying for you this morning, you ought to make that step out for God. Do you know who He is with all your heart? Or are you just going along with the crowd? Jesus is calling. Amen, amen. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning? I'll tell this on my little buddy. We went to Menards. I told you that part. And we were talking about buildings being... He thought this building was a church, and I said, no, that's a bank. And I explained to him what a bank was. And then he went on, and we saw this big old airplane, and it was up in the skies, and naturally, right? But He wanted to know about it. And then, you know, he's very inquisitive. And I don't even know where this came from. He said, "Papa, do you love God?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "I love him too." And it just blessed my heart. Because the Bible says, train them up in the way, when they're a child, the way they should go. And it just made my day. That's why he got all that stuff at Menards. I think I've been played. But if I was, it was worth all $8 or $9 that we spent, whatever it was. He's worth every nickel of it. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate each and every one of you. Love you this morning. And I pray that God bless you and yours. And Stephen, y'all come back and be with us. James, come back and be with us. And she's awake now. Look at that little one there. Chelsea, I mean, she needs to see that red hair. And I'm not saying that joking or poking fun this morning. See, we lived in Georgia for several years. And down in Georgia, I don't know if you all know this, but there's a lot of redheads in Georgia. And I fell in love with redheads. Yeah. That's why Becky had red hair so long. She did it for me. And but yeah, you just see that little one this morning, and I appreciate them stopping by and being with us. God bless you. Have a great week. Come back and be with us. And as we are, looks like we're going toward the end of this pandemic, at least with the first virus. We still have these other two strands that they're not sure about. But at least with the first one, maybe we should try to get together and start thinking and praying about coming back for Wednesday nights as well, at least Wednesday nights, and then start opening it back up for Sunday school and Sunday night. I mean, let's get back to worshiping God, that we might get our people in and get them saved before it's too late. So be thinking and praying about those questions, if you would, this week. God bless you. Have a great day is our prayer. It's in the back.